Ray will join us here in a moment. We haven't touched on Bobby Mack's piece yet up on TSN.ca. And Bob McKenzie wrote what I found to be quite intriguing.
See, you took it. I thought he splashed cold water on it.
Oh, I thought he sprayed gasoline on
really?
It.
Really? Give me your take on that.
He wrote a piece about Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Okay, go ahead.
Just because Arizona's in town and talking heads like myself, like you guys, like Leaf fans, hockey fans in general, water cooler material, you look at a dumpster fire of an organization.
And you pick at the carcass.
And you pick at the carcass. And you say, wow, that's a really talented player having a down year on a bad team. I'll bet you he wants out. And you start playing the game of making trades. In this particular case, it's Oliver Ekman-Larsson with Arizona. Bobby Mack doesn't touch rumors.
No, it's not like Joe from the Bridge is the one guy that said to him, don't be so sure about that not being something that could happen.
And that's what Bob wrote today. He mentioned that he was on Leafs Lunch earlier in the week, last week, posed the question, the idea of Ekman-Larsson being on the table or the Leafs pursuing him, and he said, no, not happening, I don't see it. And someone reached out to him on Saturday and said, slow your roll, Bob, in terms of thinking that this is an impossibility. Now, he finished the piece by saying, by all accounts, what he's found out is they have not talked about it.
Right.
It's not going to happen tonight. It's not like Ekman-Larsson's going to take warm-ups with Arizona and then throw on a Leaf jersey and start the game with the Leafs. But the fact that he mentioned that someone of substance reached out to him and said, this is not as crazy as you think it is, Oliver Ekman-Larsson for William Nylander plus, I think has to lead to a conversation in terms of whether or not it makes sense, because Bob is throwing it out there as if it could potentially take place. So you have to unwrap this.
Yeah.
Because Ekman-Larsson is a very good defenseman that I'm not sure a lot of Leaf fans really know a lot about because of the market he's been playing in his whole career. He has not had a good start to the year.
Mm-hmm.
By all accounts, he and Rick Tocchet not really on the same page.
Well, he's been a part of that's the reason that he would intrigue me. It's like, can you jumpstart him when a competitive team? Because you know what he's been around his whole career, basically? Losing.
Right.
He's turning into a loser, because you know what? When you play on that many losing teams, you just develop losing habits and you become a loser.
My initial reaction was...
So is Kadri, so is guys who are still in the Bozak, the guys who are still left over in the regime.
And that was my reaction. Saved. My reaction was, originally, to your thinking, oh, how poisoned is this guy? But then you can use a local example of players that can play through the poison, that can overcome the poison. And that's a perfect example. 3 years ago, tonight was Salute Gate at the ACC.
Oh, yeah?
One of the most embarrassing moments of the past decade in Toronto sports. And Kadri was on the ice for that. Morgan Riley was on the ice. Jake Gardner, JVR, Bozak. Those guys survived it, and they flourished since better players showed up and they became a part of a more positive environment.
Yeah, but who's to say that can happen in Arizona? Who the hell knows what's happening there?
I'm not saying it's going to happen in Arizona.
Doing the Edmonton Oilers rebuild on a rebuild.
What I'm saying is Ekman-Larsson, if you give him a fresh start, I'm not convinced he's poison for the rest of his career because of what's happened in Arizona.
He would be definitely something I would be looking at. It's just, what do you give up?
Well, McKenzie said that the rumor out there, and this was not Bob stating the rumor, he said that people are talking about it, and his source was the one who brought this up, was William Nylander.
It's a big ask.
It's a big ask.
But
that's a big ask.
Oliver Ekman-Larsson is a star defenseman on a crappy team. I think I've said that several times. Like, Jimmy Playfair was a good friend of mine and coached him in Arizona, and he said, he would tell me, he's like, Jamie, this guy is unreal. Now, if you take a look at actually his point production, and I think he scored 20 goals a couple times, like he's a very good player. And are the problem is would you give up a very good player to get him? And he's an unrestricted free agent in a year. You'd have to have some sort of sign and trade or trade and sign put together.
Well, he can't sign an extension until this July, but there would have to be an understanding.
There'd have to
you
be an
think.
Understanding, because you're not giving up a like William Nylander. That's a big piece. If you're pushing down on the lineup a little bit,
but you have to be realistic in terms of what it's going to cost.
If
Ekman-Larsson is a legit elite defenseman, it's going to cost you an elite young player. Plus, It's probably going to cost them more than Nylander. Mm-hmm. And I know that's difficult for Leaf fans to wrap their heads around. But if you believe Ekman Larson walks in and is immediately their number one defenseman or right there with Morgan Riley, it's going to cost you something. But in terms of his contract in the future, I think what you've got to remember is you're asking yourself, let's say Nylander goes the other way, how much you're going to pay for Ekman Larson compared to what you would have had to pay also for William Nylander.
Financially. Yeah.
Now, you might have to pay more for the upcoming UFA that you just traded for and you proved to him that you value significantly. But it's not as if in 2 years Nylander's still making $1 million.
No, he's going to be at six plus.
He's going to make a lot of money, too. It's a matter of allocating that money.
Correct.
So we got Ray on the line. Ray, let's ask you. If you were Lou and they offered Ekman Larson for Nylander, would you do it?
Just straight up?
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you're Toronto, you would do that?
Because I think Ekman Larson's a top pair guy. I don't think he's a number one guy. And you know, in the true sense, but maybe the number one guy these days is a little bit different of a style. I mean, he's not as good as Carlson, but he would be in Carlson's image. You know, that would be the way you would see, or I would see his game. He's a little bit risky. He's a fabulous skater, really moves the puck well, but he's not, I don't know, he's not a Drew Doughty type defender. You know, like he's not, there's no real physicalness to his game, but maybe you don't need to have that anymore. But I would make that because I think it's way harder to find that player, the defenseman, than it is to find an elite level skill-wise winger. If I'm Arizona, that's a silly trade to make. Like their defense is already the worst defense in the league, so you're going to make it worse?
Yeah, but aren't they doing the rebuild on the rebuild? Like, what the hell? Like, they're so bad.
Well, yeah, I guess, but, like, I don't know. I'm like, maybe they're hoping that they finish, well, not hoping, but maybe they're hoping they get Rasmus Dahlin, like everybody else in the league, and they can rebuild with that part, and maybe a Nylander, and, you know, like a Clayton Keller, and they got a whole bunch of young forwards. They don't have any, to my knowledge, any young D that are right on the cusp of being impact players. When I saw that kicked around this morning, you know, when Bob was talking about it, my first thought was, I think I'm okay with that from Toronto's side, and I really do like Nylander, but I wouldn't be thinking that's a great deal to trade a defenseman, a top defenseman, a top pair defenseman, for a top winger. That, to me, doesn't equate. That doesn't make sense.
That's why I think there would be more to it. It would be more complicated than that.
Yeah, but there's got to be some other moving pieces, but those are the main pieces. And Brian, you believe more that you think there's smoke and fire here. I think Bobby Mack was trying to put it to the end, like that there was nothing to it. But I don't know. I don't know if Toronto would want to do that right now. They may have to see what else is out there. Like, John Carlson's unrestricted in a year. Like, they're, you know, do they believe that this is the year and this is the year they add the piece? Or is it, you know, do they think that maybe next year is their year and you add a piece in the offseason? Like, I think that's where I'm not convinced that comes fruition this year.
Ray, like, do you think if they get that number one defenseman, it's an automatic that either Marner and Nylander are going to be going the other way, or are they just going to try to package up? Like, aren't they at the point where it's kind of like the LA Kings were for a few years in Chicago, where their first round draft picks were just flying out the window because they didn't really care about them that much? They're just their team is designed to win right now.
Yeah, the only difference I would say to that is that is you guys were talking about a little earlier about allocating the cap dollars, is eventually you're going to have to pay, you know, Nylander, you got to pay now. You know, you got to pay him at the end of the year, whatever you're going to pay him. You know, you're going to run into a cap squeeze that the other teams didn't have to. You know, Chicago won, and then they pitched three guys overboard. And then they won 2 years later, and they pitched two more guys overboard. And now you've got a team that's kind of rebuilding around two $10 million contracts. I think they would most likely have to, it would be more than a first rounder. The problem is, what are the other parts that go into the deal? And I mean, that's just a speculation and a guess, but if I'm trading a John Carlson or an Oliver Ekman Larson, it's not a first rounder and a maybe prospect. You know, they've got to hit something way more solid than that, in my opinion, to move those players. Now Colorado went and moved Duchesne, and they got a whole bunch of maybes. And you know, maybe Samuel Girard's going to be really good, but he's 19, and you know, you have to see. And maybe Hamanev, who just broke his arm, is going to be really good, but you don't know. And maybe those picks are going to turn out okay, but they're at the bottom of the barrel. I guess Arizona's there too, but I would think with that asset, those both of them being defensemen, you have to hit something pretty solid coming back the other way.
Well, yeah. This is a situation where the Maple Leafs take issue with the media and the media talking about these kind of deals, because I get the impression, just based on what Babcock said a week ago about Nylander when he was slumping, Nylander pays attention. Nylander's aware of what's being said. I don't think it's a coincidence that his season took off post-trade deadline a year ago. He was spectacular down the stretch, very good into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Kind of had a bit of a bumpy road leading up to the trade deadline. And he was the guy, because we were so infatuated with Matthews and Marner, not that people weren't excited about Nylander, but he was clearly the third guy this time last year. He was the guy when people played hypothetical trade or hypothetical GM. Well, I'll throw Nylander in. Do you think you could get this, get that, or the other?
Right.
And here we go again with a situation where people are connecting him to Arizona. And I hope he's not affected by it, but it wouldn't shock me.
Well, and he's a very good player, too. Like, that's the thing that, you know,
imagine making that deal. Like, for 10 years, it was the opposite way. Get me out of Toronto, send me somewhere else. Yeah. Now it's, wait a minute, this team's on the verge of winning, and you're potentially going to send me to the biggest tire fire in the National Hockey League?
Well, Brian, I signed with the Rangers as a free agent, signed a 4-year deal. In October of that year, so I signed in July. In October, we're on a flight, I'm reading a paper, and it said the Rangers are, Calgary was going to make a deal. And they were looking to add a center, and they were looking at Joe Nieuwendyk or possibly, with less cost would be me. And I was like unbelievably rattled. I just signed. And I was an older guy, not a young guy like Nylander. Totally rattled. And so Neil Smith comes back on the plane and he sits down and tells me, look, you know, I don't know where these rumors start and we're not trading you. We're really happy. And so he just waited 5 months to trade me. But I was totally scrambled. Like, I'm like, what the hell? I'd like, you don't even feel like you, I felt totally unsettled with where I was playing. So it would be unlikely that rumors don't bother a player, like that wouldn't bother Nylander. I mean, he looks cool. He looks, you know, like he's calm. But on the last game we did there, the Jersey game, the overtime game, in the first period, he missed a chance or two. And he came back to the bench. And he smashed his stick on the glass, like right beside me. I never see him do that. And I was thinking, he's rattled, man. Like there's a lot of stuff rattling around in his brain. And I said to him, you're going to score tonight. And he's like, what? I go, you're going to score tonight. He'd already had four or five chances or three or four chances. And he kind of went, ah. And my thought was, oh, my God, this kid is just like rattled. And you go 11 games without scoring, you get rattled. Now there's a story that comes out, whether right or wrong, it doesn't even matter. Somebody's going to ask him about it tomorrow. And you're going to get rattled. You can only say, I don't care, it's the business, whatever lines the guys give, so many times. But eventually, it's unsettling, for sure. And it bugs your play. It does. And Noodles, I don't know if you guys had your name kicked around at all, but you're like, it just rattles you.
I sat in warm-up anyway. And stretched at the red line, and Marty Brodeur said to me, I heard you're coming back on the plane with us. I was like, what the hell? When Marty Brodeur says that?
Well, he took you out of the game, didn't he? That's good strategy. Yeah. By him.
That's why he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it doesn't. When people talk about you and it's just rumors and stuff, it doesn't.
Yeah, I was the opposite. It didn't rattle me. I was like, just get me the hell out of here. I don't want to be a part of this team if they're like shopping me or don't want me.
But you never know if that's just a rumor. To
I was pretty
point.
Sure
that's
it wasn't
the problem.
A rumor.
This is just talk. And now what's going to happen is his dad may call him and be like, "What's going on? Have you heard?" Or the agent's got to dig into this. Like, this is something that has to be from his camp for his peace of mind, even talked about either with management just to be like, what is the thought process here?
But Noodles, it doesn't matter what anybody says anymore, because they can say, look, we're not actively shopping you. We haven't even had a conversation with Arizona. And then 2 days later, some other team calls in whose season's going sideways, and they say, hey, we got this D, whoever, defenseman X, and we want to talk about Nylander. And then all of a sudden, you're in play again. Like, it doesn't even matter. You can, the best advice is to ignore it all, but I think it's impossible to do.
Yeah.
With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here, courtesy of Valiant Financial. Well, that team they played on Saturday night, there's got to be a lot of phone calls being directed towards the 514 area code, because they are in trouble. And Mark Bergevin, he looks like he's flustered. I mean, just based on the hockey night shots, every goal the Leafs scored, they showed him, and he was freaking out in a different manner. But if you're on that team, and now names are starting to circulate in terms of rumors on that team, I got to think in Montreal, they're wondering, is it maybe in my best interest if I'm a player to get out of here? Because if it goes south, that is the last market you want to be in.
The last market you want to be in is one in the American League.
Well, so, true. But
my point being, you can hope that you're on the way out, that you could be one of the guys moving, and then as your play suffers, pretty soon they can't trade you either. It's been said many times, and I know I said it in Atlanta, guys, there's nobody lining up to take us. We're not very good. Nobody's saying, hey, let's add a not very good player to our team. And now that Montreal is clearly stumbling and clearly rattled, any player that Bergevin wants to talk about, what kind of offers do you think he's getting back? Brutal.
Anchors. He's asking for a life raft, and they're handing him anchors.
I would say, never being a general manager before, the one thing that I would want to do right now is identify what the hell are we supposed to be? Like, are we, what kind of team do we think that we are? Because when I watch the Canadiens, I don't get it. They're not a defending team. Their defense is brutal. They're not an offensive team. Their forwards don't score. Like, what are they? Focus in on what you want to be, and then maybe you can start to address the needs of whatever that image is. Because for the last few years, it's been goaltending and defense and checking, and the offense has just not been there. Well, now the offense isn't there. I don't know how they could have thought losing Markov and Beaulieu and Emelin and trading Sergachev that defense was going to be anywhere near adequate this year, because it's not. And then Price doesn't play well and then gets hurt. They're sunk. I mean, that looks like a season that's going right down the drain. And I don't know. You're right. There must be a million calls going into Bergevin's office, but I can't imagine anything makes very clear sense right now for them.
Well, and I can't imagine he feels like the most secure guy on earth either. I mean, how could you? If this continues at this pace, there's no way he can survive. He's the most wanted guy in Montreal to begin with, and if this continues,
I think if Price comes back, he's got a 5 to 10 game segment. If they stink the joint out, it's gonna what's gonna hit the fan.
But
he'll need a plunger.
If they fire him, say they decide Montreal to go ahead, okay, we're gonna fire Bergevin. Well, whoever they hire is gonna be an interim GM till the end of the year, and so you're really kind of hamstrung by whatever kind of moves that guy's gonna be allowed to make. Like, how many general managers, quality NHL general managers, are sitting around right now that they could hire and say, okay, this is who we want to hire? First of all, they've got to hire, it seems like they've got to hire a Francophone. So now your prospect pool goes down immensely.
Well, you're looking at Julien Brisebois.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's anyone else. Certainly Julien, who is highly regarded. He's been with Yzerman for 6 years, and they've built, you know, a pretty damn good franchise in Tampa Bay. You would think he would be at the top of the heap, but Tampa's not going to let him go right now.
No.
I mean, I don't know what his contract clauses are. Wouldn't they say to him, yeah, great, talk to him at the end of the year, but not now?
Yeah.
Ray, to finish up, do you think it's offside to ask a neighbor for a plunger? or your friends?
Well, I think two things have to happen. I think it's okay. However, you need to bring the gift back, a new one. You cannot return that plunger.
Like just with shrapnel on it, put it in a plastic bag.
You can't give that the double-footed plunge and then hand it back to the guy.
What about with a deep cleanse? Like you take a couple of those, what are those little towels with the...
Like wipes?
Wipes, yeah. A couple wet wipes.
You're going to do that? I wouldn't do that. I'd throw it in the garbage and spend $8.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what do they cost? Like $12? Go buy another one.
Can't you buy them at the dollar store?
Oh, dude.
You cannot re-gift a plunger.
No, you can't. You can't ask for one either, right? We're living in a society here. You can't ask people. Like, this guy sent us a text, Noodles and I, at like 12:40 this afternoon, asking if we could bring in our plunger.
No, if you had a spare one.
But then you followed it up with, just clean the one you've got because we both have solos, and fire it in the trunk and bring it in. Like, you can't do that. You can't do that.
No, it can't be done. No. I'm now rethinking the whole procedure. Just leave the bowl full, go buy one, come back, do the thing. Throw that one out and buy another one still. Who the hell wants a used one sitting around anyway?
No kidding.
That and the brush. And it collects the extra water down there. It's fabulous.
It's where you really realize we're not that far, like, disconnected from the animals.
Yeah.
Like, just evolution in general. When you've got the plunger and the brush rolling, you're
right there.
Who do we think we are? Like, who do we really think we are? We think we're so special as humans. We're not.
Yeah, aren't we something? Look at us. Hang on. Where's that scrubber?
All right, buddy. Enjoy the games tonight, and we'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
For Toilet Seat Tuesday.
Yes.
This is sweet. I like it.
Perfect. Maybe I get the toilet seat for even asking.
I think you might have to wear it tomorrow.
I've got one for tomorrow. It's bugged me for a couple of years, and I've got one for tomorrow.
All right, buddy. We look forward to it.
Later.
Overdrive brought to you by Valiant Financial for fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer. Visit valiantfinancial.ca.